Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. New York is filled with band leaders, but not all of them are also educators, and even fewer of them were pivotal figures in the development of a truly funky genre of music. Johnny Colon and his orchestra started playing rock and roll and charanga, but after the release of this 1966 album, Colon became one of the kings of Latin boogaloo. He joins me in the studio to talk about his career. Johnny Colon, good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thank you, John.
Let me ask you first a very basic question. What is boogaloo?
Boogaloo is a musical feeling that was impacted upon us, those kids who were born and raised in New York, or raised in New York, Latinos, mm-hmm. Puerto Ricans at that time, who were listening to the radio a lot. So during the time that I was growing up, I would listen to R&B, rhythm and blues. I was listening to jazz. I was listening to, of course, salsa, which was not called salsa then.
What was it called?
Well, it was called, believe it or not, it was called Latin American music.
Latin American, okay.
That's how they, you know, Latin American music. And I was listening to guys like Tito Puente, Machito and his orchestra, Noro Morales, you know, the guys of that time. And also to smaller ensembles, you know, the guitar kind of romantic singing, which is a very beautiful thing. It mm-hmm. still is. And so all of those influences, including classical music, impacted upon me. Mm-hmm. And as I was growing up, singing the popular American songbook throughout my whole life, and then later doing what would be salsa, I really got bitten big time by jazz.
You know, so boogaloo was sort of the melding of all these things.
It was the melding of all those things.
So a Latin music, but also a New York music.
Totally. Totally. A New York invention, I would say. New York sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it a dance as well as a musical style?
It was a dance. It was a dance. It was a dance that was originally an American developed dance. I don't know where, to tell you the truth. But it had no success, only because there was no music to really go with it that you could say was a boogaloo.
Right. So it needed, like, the twist or the Macarena. It needed the song to kind of...
It needed the song.
Yeah.
It needed the song.
And what was that song?
That song was Boogaloo Blues.
Let's hear a little bit of it from my guest, Johnny Colon, and his orchestra. That is my guest, Johnny Colon and his orchestra, and the song Boogaloo Blues from 1966. So, Johnny, we're hearing you playing the piano?
I'm playing the piano.
And you also play trombone?
I play trombone also.
Mm-hmm. One of the striking things about this, and of course you've already explained how it's both a Latin and a New York style of music, is the bilingual nature of the lyrics, you know, English and Spanish
absolutely.
Both.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So was this originally aimed at the community, the Puerto Rican community in New York, or were you aiming to cast a wider net?
No, it was the Puerto Rican Latino community in New York, because that's where we did our gigs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would be neglectful if I didn't say that we weren't also playing mambos and cha-chas and guajiras. You had to, right. You couldn't play a boogaloo night and just boogaloo. It wasn't gonna make it.
Where were you playing?
We were playing in all the venues in New York City, the Manhattan, the Bronx, the South Bronx, the Hunt Point Palace. We even early on the Palladium.
Mm-hmm.
The Colgate Gardens in the Bronx, a place called Sci Streets. So all of these small little places that had the fanatics going and coming.
Right. That Hunts Point, that building is still there. I mean, it's not...
It's still there.
Not a dance hall anymore.
It's
a great old building.
A lot of history there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Johnny Colon, the band leader, educator, pivotal figure in the genre known as Boogaloo. Where did it come from? I mean, who were your progenitors, the people that led you to this?
I'll tell you. Mongo Santa Maria, the conga player, did a tune called Watermelon Man.
Big hit.
Yeah, big hit. Herbie Hancock wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
So, there were no lyrics to it. Pete Rodriguez then comes along and does Ay, 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 Micaela Me Botó, which is really a guajira, a cha-cha type, And he also
And just
does,
for folks who aren't, the cha-cha-cha sounds exactly like that name would lead you to believe. It has
yeah.
that cha-cha-cha
well, if you,
rhythm.
Yeah, but if you listen to what we're doing on a ding-dong, ding-grunk, cha-ching-ching, 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 see, that's really
that
all.
That sounded great. It's,
okay, thank you. It's all cha-cha.
Yeah.
It's all cha-cha. Now, the difference in our instance with Boogaloo is that Pete would do this, let's say, for demonstration purpose. He would go, Micaela, me so it was he was doing it on the 1 and the 4 or the 2 and the 4, that mm-hmm. backbeat feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
We never did the backbeat feeling because we didn't want to. We wanted something new that the Puerto Rican kid could relate to, that the Latinos could relate to, and anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than having that backbeat we didn't want to imitate anybody's music,
mm-hmm.
coming out with new stuff.
So Pete Rodriguez, one of those formative influences. What about Joe Cuba?
No, well, Joe Cuba, yes, but Joe Cuba was an influence for salsa for me.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to him for that. Joe Cuba's Bang Bang didn't come out till the end of 1967.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really after us.
Okay. Let's hear some of the sounds of the day. Pete Rodriguez, as Johnny Colon mentioned, and then Joe Cuba with Bang Bang. There are some of the sounds of the 60s. Joe Cuba from 67. So Johnny Colon with me. This is a year after your Boogaloo Blues.
Yes.
Bang Bang. Big Boogaloo hit for Joe Cuba. We also heard Pete Rodriguez, I Like It Like That. So you're listening to Pete Rodriguez, early on. You said you would listen to Joe Cuba more for salsa, but he was clearly listening to you in return because Your Boogaloo Blues seemed to have a pretty strong impact on that song.
Well, that was it. That's why I said Boogaloo was the song, because it changed the structure of the music. Was different. It was a real New York sound. And so people listened and said, oh, well, maybe that's where we should go.
Are you aware that Wikipedia says that you are a salsa musician?
Yeah.
So is salsa and Boogaloo, at some point, do those two terms begin to come together to the point where they almost mean the same thing?
No, I think that what they're trying to say is that, for instance, Merecumbe is, you know, that's a salsa, that's a mambo.
And when did you do that song?
I did that in 1970, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's about the time that a lot of us are beginning to hear in New York salsa for the first time.
That's about,
or at least we're hearing the word.
That's about the time that they're calling it salsa.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, are they parallel streams of music, salsa and boogaloo?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you why. Because one of my influences was Horace Silver,
the jazz pianist.
Yeah, the jazz pianist, because he had a very Latin feel on the piano all the time, and I was impressed by what he did. The other guy was Cal Jader,
the vibes player.
Oh man, that's the guy that brought me to Latin music, really. Okay, so, and I connected because I love jazz. I'm a big fan of jazz, and the bridge was the rhythm. So if you listen to all of these things, including my stuff, what you're going to hear is this. That's called a tumbao. The tumbao is on every single Latin music or salsa music that you will ever hear. Mm-hmm. It could be that slow, or it could be, you know, you could have a combination of the congas. But so that's always there.
Now, how controversial, if at all, was Boogaloo when it came? Is it the usual thing where you have to kind of, you know, get the gatekeepers to let you in?
Yes, yes. I remember one of the famous disc jockeys of the time said, well, I won't play the record because it said LSD. It's got a hold on me. I said, yeah, but, you know, it's L stands for love, S for sincere, and D for divine or dynamic. And if you listen to the groove, you'll see that it's just an acronym. He says, yeah, but it's, you know. And then he said, and the singer is singing so flat that he doesn't deserve to. I just, geez, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. But here's what happened. Symphony Sid picks it up, and I mean, the thing goes through the roof. The phones were ringing off the hook. So then he came back and he asked George Goldner, who was a producer, please, George, give me the record. I want to play the record.
So Symphony Sid, a taste making DJ here in New York.
He was a pioneer. Yeah.
We're speaking with Johnny Colon, a pioneer himself in the Boogaloo world in the '60s, and still going strong today. In fact, the Johnny Colon Orchestra performs at Le Poisson Rouge in a benefit concert for the East Harlem Music School Fund on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You can also catch Johnny and his band later this summer at Lincoln Center's Midsummer Night Swing Festival on July 3rd. Now, let me ask you about this East Harlem Music School. Sort of at the height of your popularity, you kind of walk away. Well, you don't walk very far, but you walk off stage at least. What was behind that?
I got tired of being ripped off. You know, the recording companies are ripping off almost all of the musicians, the guys who were doing the writing, composing, arranging, and that's what
that's
I was doing.
That's you.
and we weren't getting paid any royalties, so I said, you know, I love this, but I love kids. I love the music. And I was doing this in my mother's house in 1962. I started the school in my mother's house, and I did it for 10 years in my mother's house until somebody met me in the subway and said, gee, you still wanted to? I said, yeah. He said, well, you know. So I'm sitting in somebody's office, and the deputy commissioner of the New York City Youth Bureau walks in, and he said, do I know you? I said, I don't know. He says, are you a musician? I said, yes. He says, Johnny Colon? I said, yes. He said, oh, my God, what are you doing here? I said, this. So I gave him the paper. He read the rest was history. Mm-hmm. The school got started.
So and that was when?
That was in 1972. We were picked up by the city as a pilot project, and you, of course, had to demonstrate the ability to do this. And then we went on and did it for a year, and then we kept on doing it.
And what happens at the school? I mean, kids come in, do they need to know anything about music? What do you teach them?
Well, here's the way we did it then, because now it's different. All right. Kids could come to the school and just register, and we had instrumentalists such as myself and other people who were coming in and getting paid to teach the kids. And most of the guys who were in the school were the same guys you see today from Típica 73, from Conjunto Libre, Andy Gonzalez, and the late Manny Oquendo, Leopoldo Pineda, the great trombone player from Típica 73, Sonny Bravo, the pianist from...
Just to say, these are names that anybody who with a passing familiarity with the New York Latin scene over the years will know.
Yeah, these guys...
ace players.
Oh, these guys were all legends in the field. So we got funded to do that. We've produced guys like Ruben Rodriguez, who's like, you know, like an incredible bass player. He plays everything, by the way.
Did Mark Anthony go through your school?
Mark Anthony was our last
singer
professional
and actor.
Graduate, yes. Quick story.
Yeah?
He came in at 7 years of age. So we would start them at eight because they had to write, you know, and do homework and stuff. And I said, gee, your sister can come in. But so he said, because he stuttered. And he said, can I come in and help you with the instruments? And he did that for a year.
Wow.
He would come in and the kid would help me with the instruments.
So he was a roadie before he was a student.
He was the East Harlem Music School roadie. But he was just such a lovely kid, giving, supportive. He would pick everything up. I knew this kid was going to be a big star.
Well, before he became a big star, Mark Anthony was a student at Johnny Colon's East Harlem Music School. And then, of course, he did go on to stardom with songs like this. Oh, ahora quién, si no soy yo. Me miro y lloro en el espejo y me siento estúpido. Ilógico, y luego te imagino toda regalando el olor de tu piel. Tus besos, tu sonrisa eterna y hasta el alma en un beso. En un beso va el alma y en mi alma está el beso que pudo ser. Ahora quién, si no soy yo. Mark Anthony, Ahora Quien, the name of the song, one of his big hits, but he started out at the East Harlem Music School, founded by my guest, the composer and band leader, Johnny Colon. The concert Wednesday night by Johnny Colon and his orchestra is a benefit for the East Harlem Music School Fund. It's at LPR this Wednesday at 7. 1972 is the year it really gets going.
It gets going in 1972.
And that's the year, you mentioned this song earlier, Merikumbe.
Yes.
That's the same. So you're still juggling both at this point.
Absolutely.
This is the song Merikumbe from my guest Johnny Colon. That is Merikumbe from the aptly titled album Caliente, Hot, Hot, Hot.
Yes.
It is hot. That's hot stuff. Oh, Johnny Colon.
This was as big as Boogaloo Blues, by the way.
Except this is 1972.
Right.
When you're setting out to start the East Harlem Music School. Now, you said before that I asked you, you know, what did the kids do, and you told us how it was then, but you also said it's different now.
Yeah, it's different because now we're a school without walls, meaning that organizations, not-for-profit organizations, will call me and say, John, you know, we don't have any music. We want the kids. And the school's there. I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And I start teaching the kids music theory. I put on little workshop ensembles for the kids. And what it does is it changes the kids completely.
Mm.
kids who would not raise their hand, kids who would not go to the board, kids who would not do homework, kids who would not smile, kids who would not socialize, are transformed completely. So the teachers come to me and say, well, what kind of therapy are you using? No therapy. This is music. Music empowers children and adults.
So can you compete with the Glees and American Idols that these kids are growing up with?
They don't even come close to what we do. Mm-hmm. They don't come close because those are produced packages with a lot of money going into to produce the shows. It's theater is what it is. We're not theater. We're about empowering kids through music. If we get a Mark Anthony out of that, the better. Mm-hmm. But that's not the intent. The intent is to use music to empower a life forever, forever.
Johnny Colon, well, you've been doing it forever. Boogaloo Blues back in the 60s. We'll wrap up with Johnny Colon's song, What You Mean, from the album Move Over. Johnny, it has been a real pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck
today. Thank you for having us.
Johnny Colon and his orchestra performing Wednesday at Le Poisson Rouge. Here he is with What You Mean. And Sandra here in New York leaves a nice comment on our webpage, speaking to the huge popularity of Latin music in the African American community. She writes that we loved it just as much as the Hispanics as a kid just loved it. Thanks, Sandra. You're hearing a little bit more from Johnny Colon and his orchestra in the background. We'll switch gears slightly and head south to Brazil in a moment. Singer Paula Morellenbaum spent 10 years performing in Antonio Carlos Jobim's band. She'll play live for us in the Soundcheck studio next.